Welcome to the Critical Few Actions to Improve Your Business podcast. I'm John Downes, and I'm here to help you cut through the overwhelm and prioritize what matters most to improve your business. Let's get started and discover the critical few actions that have the biggest impact. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Brian Goldberg, who I believe is one of Australia's foremost experts on trademarking to protect the next generation of leading brands. I've known Brian since way back in 2016, and since then, he has helped a number of my successful CEOs with their businesses to trademark their brands. Brian, welcome.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be with you.
It's a pleasure for me. So, Brian, today we're going to talk about how business founders and CEOs can use trademarking to protect their intellectual property, specifically their brands, whether they be business names, product names, or other brands. Tell me, how did you get into trademarking and what intrigues you about it?
Thanks, John. I'll share some background, and I did meet you as a senior advisor, and you provided strong, clear direction, which was impressive and valuable at the time. So I'm thrilled to be on your podcast. My personal journey started with some science degrees, and I was working on new sports technologies. I was fortunate enough to travel the world and go to all the large sporting companies, including Nike, all meetings focused on intellectual property as the first most important topic, not what have you got and yours is not good or yours is better or how are we going to make business? It's what's your intellectual property? First conversation in every room.
Wow.
And then that raised the importance in my mind of, well, it's good to have something, but you've got to have the foundation before you take on the world. Then I showed interest in intellectual property after the commercialization of the sports technology. I also have a marketing degree at Monash. And so I was studying and heading towards being a patent attorney. And then the startup boom came about 13, 14 years ago.
Yep.
And I love startups. I was lucky enough to then travel to Silicon Valley, travel around India, travel to a few tech hubs in the early days. And what was noticeable on every working space hub startup you walk into, the brands were everywhere. There was a wall plaque of brands. The brand was behind them. They loved their brands, including Airbnb. I went to their offices and all about the brand.
Mm.
And I thought, ooh, I like brands. It's international. And the passion for brands was big. So I then just said, I'm specializing in trademark using my marketing, and the international growth of brands is exciting. So yeah. That led me to start the brand journey.
Oh, fantastic. So, you know, every business of note has got a brand and looks to be remembered for its brand and the association of the brand with the product or the service that they actually offer. So tell me, so that we're all on the same page, what's a trademark and how does it differ from copyright, patents and other forms of IP protection, just so that we're all clear?
Yeah, sure. And it's very good and important to go through it. So just on the brands, the brands that have the magic are the ones that I've found that really connect with their target audience. So to me, that's super important. And then we get into the technical side of what is a trademark and a brand and the intellectual. Mm. So have you got your coffee ready? I'll go and clarify these items, which I'm excited about, but I don't know if everyone loves intellectual property. So intellectual property is, as it says, property of the mind. But the mechanisms used to be able to protect intellectual property fall into four categories mainly: trademarks, designs, patents, and copyright. And within those, there's all different rules. And we'll start with trademarks. So the basic rule of a trademark is it needs to be a distinctive name and not descriptive. So if you have a bread shop, you can't call it bread shop because everyone else can. Yep. And then you need a bit of luck that no one else has filed and registered that trademark, and in Australia used that trademark. And that's getting harder and harder to do because there are so many brands and so many variations that it is harder to get a trademark, because unlike domain names and business names and company names, the word similar, So it's not identical, it's similar. So if someone's got a brand name registered and yours is similar in some way, it will be rejected. So it's making it quite difficult. In addition to the word mark, which is important and probably the most prominent feature of a brand, you can also have a logo, the graphical representation, and you can have a slogan. So Nike, once again, is a classic example of Nike, the word mark, just do it, the slogan, and the swish as the logo. And what I like about it is once they got that, they haven't changed because they've built the power of the brand by keeping the essence of the trademark in place rather than chop and change. In Australia, there is some colours and sound, but they're not very common. Maybe Cadbury got it because of usage and so on, but mainly it's worded mark that we focus on.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get that. Moving on to design registration. Design registration, second part of the intellectual property, is for the shape, form, and configuration of a product or an aspect or feature of the product. So it doesn't have to be the whole product. It can be just a feature of the product. So for example, a car might have the side mirror as a special design feature, even though the car might be protected. For exactly the shape of the item, which is limiting because copiers can change the shape slightly. But on the other hand, shape of products do build up distinctiveness from the Toblerone chocolate to many other shapes, coffee mugs. The exact shape does have some power in products, and that's what's protected for design if it's relevant. Then we get to patents, and that's a huge area. So a patent is for an invention, an inventive step in a product or service or technology, but it has to be an inventive step. And it's a very convoluted and detailed process to get a patent. And it is, we'll call it for inventions rather than just businesses with brands. And the last one is copyright. And this has resurfaced as a highly contentious part of intellectual property.
Yeah.
Because AI is creating all the copies at the moment. So copyright is whoever creates the work, literary, dramatic, musical, artistic work, owns that piece of work. So if you create the logo, if you create the marketing content, if you create this video, you're the owner of this copyright of the video.
Mm.
But in Australia, it's not registrable. It's just a known right to whoever creates it.
Yeah.
It's not AI, I think. So that's a summary of intellectual property.
Right. And so all of our AI-created images, comments, copy, videos, representations of me as my digital twin actually is owned by ChatGPT.
I thought that was a real John.
There's only one John.
Yeah.
So nearly.
It's becoming a very murky area.
It is murky and it's not conclusive yet. As of currently, there's a movement that if you give one prompt, create a sun picture for me, for example, that's AI ownership and that's not yours. But if you give multiple prompts, make it a different color, give me a reflection, and you keep getting depth of prompting, then it's considered yours.
Maybe.
As a creator, maybe. So it's a new exciting area that we don't know the answers yet, but it definitely, as you said, creates a murky world.
Yeah. So then that brings us down the path of the question of, so why trademark? Why go through this
process? Luckily, I've got an answer for you.
Oh, good.
So I call it, in the modern digital social marketplaces, a trademark's actually gained more significance and it's virtually essential in businesses and differences in country. You're a well-traveled international person. The USA do not blink. A business does not open until they get a registered trademark. The value in a trademark in the US has always been extremely high.
Mm.
And when they get that certificate, it's a proud day. They have their photos with it. They show everyone. It's a big moment. So Australia is catching up on that. But the reason it's a big moment is because that's really when your brand is whatever, product, service, that's when your brand is launched. It gives your brand distinctiveness, there's some benefits, legal protection. It's a business asset and it can deter infringement. On the business asset side, I'll mention a point or two. So in my startup fund world, over the last decade of working with hundreds, thousands of startups and they love their brand. Some of them love their brand but didn't want to pay for trademarks, patents. However, when they have a conversation with an investor or third party, once again, The first question is not, how are you going to do it? The first question is, what do you own from an intellectual property perspective? Do you own your brand?
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of late night phone calls. I've got a meeting tomorrow, don't I? Can I get it done? Yeah. It takes time to get the trademark through. So even if they didn't do it to start with, that's the first question for investors and anyone involved in a business now. It's like, do you own your brand? Are we going to invest in this brand and grow it to be that world giant? Or if you don't own it, you've got nothing. So it's become definitely a higher value straight away. And then in addition, by having a registered certificate as a trademark, it does allow you to more easily uphold your rights, especially with the domain name issues, similar brands coming in, moving stock out of manufacturing countries. If you own a trademark, a lot smoother progress to just waive the certificate than have to deal with the other issues of justifying.
Yeah. You know, as we talk about this and we talk about the startups and the tech businesses and new businesses and needing to own their brand, as a fundamental due diligence question for any investor, it reminds me that, you know, what's old is, what's new is actually something that was old anyway. I remember it would have been 30 something years ago when I was working at Deloitte, there was a bit of consternation with one of their clients that was a home builder, and they didn't have a trademark on the name of their home building business. But they had it registered as a business name, trading as something else. And one of their competitors had noticed that the business name had lapsed. And they must have been watching it because it had only been lapsed for like 48 hours. And they re-registered it. And there was a whole world of pain that went on around who actually had the rights to actually use this name. And a fair amount of cash exchanged hands to buy back their name. Even though it wasn't a trademark, it was just, you know, it was a company's house registration. But even at that point, that started to show the value of those, that brand. So it really can make a difference. And so how's this different in the virtual space, such as software?
That is interesting, and it has changed. And software, AI again,
yep.
Services, and are ultimately the most valuable brands in the world.
Mm.
So talk about Apple, Microsoft, Google, OpenAI, Grok,
yeah.
As well as an interesting one, which is a software company only, Uber. Mm. These software companies, there's not a person that doesn't wake up and the first thing they do is connect to a software company, such as Instagram, they open their computer, their email. So branding is super important. You go to your CRM, you've got a Salesforce. You open your email, you go to your AI friend or agent, OpenAI or Grok. So in software, it has become incredibly important to have a distinguishing brand. Otherwise, just having code or just having an entity or is just not good enough, and it just gets diluted straight away. So it's actually, even if you offer services as consulting and others, the brand side has become very important. The two main reasons are for other businesses other than the tech giants who are software companies. You will be searched for, so you may as well have a name that's recognized and remembered that someone can search for you. You don't want your competitor to have the same name as you so that they get all the customers from search. And if you're building and advertising and promoting a brand, you want the equity to flow back into that brand.
Mm.
And that's where you want the point of difference to say, yes, if I invest in my brand, I'm going to get the rewards. So I need to protect to start with. So software companies have become brands in essence, yeah. Rather than coders in my view. So that's been, when I get the reports from both IP Australia and the USPTO on trademark trends, the number one category of increased trademark applications is in software over the last decade.
Yeah.
Because everyone's a software company now or does a software application. And if I extend that conversation a little bit, the smartphones have changed the world from a trademark perspective. So initially I said the word was the most important, and it is treated as the most important from a trademark perspective. Every company over the last decade, that's Google, not Apple, since the Apple iPhone came out, has got onto the smartphone and consumers recognize them via the icon
yeah.
and the logo. So my favorite is Instagram. So a lot of people, millions, billions, wake up every day and they might say Instagram, but they've only ever seen the icon. And that icon has tremendous value. So brands need the icon to keep with trends, that's where the consumers recognize and connect with their brand. And now creating, and they should be protected. So now creating distinctive icons is a challenge because there are so many that want you to recognize their brand. So that's been a big growth area.
Yeah, well, all you need to do is go to the Play Store to actually try and find, you know, Airbnb, and then you look at it and there's about 20 different versions of the Airbnb logo with all the knockoffs trying to attach themselves to the same sort of brand. So that must make it particularly difficult. Are you looking to pinpoint the areas that will make the biggest impact on your business? Check out the Organization Performance and Value Diagnostic. This powerful tool lets you evaluate your business on multiple facets and provides email reminders to keep you on track. Head over to criticalfewactions.com.au and get started now. So tell me a bit about the process, because I know that, you know, when I've in the past gone to register a new web domain, I got offered to register a trademark at the same time. And, you know, that made me sort of think about the, do-it-yourself will kits, which apparently are fantastic for generating work for us, for estate lawyers who have to unravel those things. So is it fairly easy and straightforward, or is there a bit more to it?
So I'm a realist, and I think there are two things. One, in Australia, I think most people in business, you hope, if they've gone into business, they are capable enough to file a trademark via the system.
Yep.
So on the technical side of put your name in, your address in, your brand, and really good in services.
How hard can it be, right?
Most are competent.
Form filling.
I don't have that. I don't embrace how easy it is. In other countries, I'll get back to where I think the challenge is. In other countries, you actually need a local associate to be your representative.
Mm.
So I don't think it's quite protectionism. Maybe it is, but you need. So on that regard, I like people that are informed and say, this is my trademark, these are my goods and services, and now file. So that's good. But you do need a representative. So the process is good. I'll open because I'm flexible in work. I don't mind if people have tried, but it's not the application process. It's the fundamental of getting the brand right. Have you done research? What are the issues? Are you an international company because you're digital? Are you trying to expand internationally? How do you search their markets? Every country's got a different approach to how similar or different trademarks are. Every country's got a separate database. So one country might say you can have it, one might not. And so there's a lot more in the fundamental aspects to get the brand ready for just filling out the application process. However, there are occasions where people say, I'll give it a go. Give it a go and they luck in. And that's good. But I get all the other ones. I didn't quite, what am I doing with this? Why don't I get a rejection later? And the problem in trademarks, as opposed to domain names and business names and company names, is at best, it takes 7 months to get a registration in Australia, Canada, 3 years, US, about a year, Europe, UK, quicker, Europe's a bit longer. So an examination report could come back in 3 months, in China in 10 months. And so you need to be prepared. So if you think you're launching brands, you're followed and away you go, you could get back rejections.
Yeah.
So I'm all for an easy process, but it doesn't mean that you've got the trademark through.
Yeah, it just means you've applied.
Right. And your fingers are crossed for a long time. But it is more cost effective if you can do it. But unfortunately at the moment, especially since my focus is international, there are, I'm counting the years I've done it, but let's say 15 years of doing international trademarks every day, there are a lot of convoluted pathways that you don't want to work out for yourself and just be annoyed with the system when it doesn't work. It's better to get the fundamentals right and ideally be proactive, because it takes time. That's the only thing I'd like to speed up is how quickly it can be. I've had it in the startup. Brian, I've got this great idea. I've got this brand. Let's go. 7 months later, I go, I've got your trademark certificate, it's successful. And I get a rejection. Now, this email is no longer in place. The business is closed. So sometimes the trademark process takes longer than the actual businesses exist for. So hence I like being proactive and give me some time to give you that.
Yeah. All right. So clearly it's not just as simple as filling in the form online, paying you $147 or whatever it is, and hitting submit and then feeling like you now own the world. But if I'm an Australian business that's aiming for global reach, how does that then influence the process?
Sure. And that was the start. So I still think it's a digital world, a tech world, a social media world, an e-commerce world. And all those have no borders. Yet the trademark system is jurisdictionally based still. Dinosaur, maybe, Tavi, I think so. So every company has to decide from the start, even if you are, I am just Australia, I'm not interested in everything else. That's fine, but that's still a decision. You have to make a decision at the start.
Mm.
Or I'm Australian and I don't have the Singapore, but I think the US and the UK might be a target.
Mm.
So from that moment, we need to investigate those markets before starting. Because if you can't get the US or UK one, then why are you starting here with potential plans? But I must say that more of my clients right now are global thinkers from the start. Global, whether cosmetics, fashion, beauty items, software, even services. It's all about, I'm a global person, from Zoom to selling abroad to the EE. It's one world in there. And so from that, I like that attitude. We do a more thorough investigation in the searches. We come up with, it seems positive, can't guarantee. And then there are two filing systems that, if it's all right, I'll just mention them both. Mm. The first thing before that, the two filing systems, is it's very beneficial to get a good, strong base application in Australia. We get the priority date, which is important, because in most countries, it's a first to file system. So the earlier you file, the better. And secondly, you get a 6-month priority period where you can file internationally and keep the date if that's important. And that's often important for startups and growing international companies, because they go to a trade fair here. And before going to the trade fair in the past, you probably had to protect all the countries. Now you file in Australia, go to the fair, go to sell, find the countries of interest, and then we can protect and claim the priority date. So a good Australian base is important.
Okay.
And then there's a system, the meeting was in Madrid, so the Madrid International Filing Application, which is a tick box system. On the onset, most countries are there. We're nearly up to 180 countries. There's still a few rebellious ones that aren't in there. And we tick the box, we base it on the Australian, and all going well, it's about a third of the price, but it takes 12 to 18 months to get the examination report.
Yeah.
It's quite a long time. All going well, that's good. However, in probably, and I try hard, but let's say 60 to 80% of the time, there's some type of rejection in countries where you file.
Mm.
And then you need a local associate to tidy it up, or we deal with the rejection.
Yeah.
So it's not a perfect system, but it is at the onset a lot easier and more cost effective. The second system is to file directly. So, Brian, I want to file in the US, UK, China, and pick a country. Luckily, I go to my international conference. I have a friend in every country, which is great, like-minded trademark associates. So I call them and I say to them, can you please file a trademark? And they file, they take control. The examination is usually much quicker, 3 to 5 months in the US, even quicker in the UK. And they manage it. They tweak it at the start to try to reduce the chances of a local glitch or terminology difference. They charge a bit more. So it's a bit more expensive to go direct. But you've got someone like-minded holding it that I can call, trust, and follow through. So it depends on how big you go. But every company now, I sit down at the start and say, what's your international plans? Because that comes into your brand, your logo, your meaning.
Yeah.
For example, there are cultural ones. I've had New Zealand pick up one or two where they've said this is a cultural word, even though I've had protected in every other country. So we had to go through some cultural localization, as well as a bit of luck that in one market, someone hasn't got the mark, but in another market, they might. And so it's a long process, and I need about a year to 18 months to get you successfully in SASH. And once again, it's all about getting the foundation and the pre-work right before.
Mm. Okay. So obviously I can't wait 18 months to start my business. So the minute that the application is lodged, I take it I can still use, or I can start using with confidence, the brand, the mark, the logo, et cetera. Yeah. And so how do I make
the work? If we do a bit of the foundation work searches, I ask my associates and they go, I'm optimistic we'll get a good outcome. Then I want to give you four. Then my whole, you've touched a good point again, John. You're very good. The whole essence of what I do is to give you confidence in your brand.
Yeah.
So ideally we do the foundation and I give you confidence. We're very confident we're going to get it through. We'll go through the process, but start building your brand.
Yeah.
And growing your brand. So yes, that's the aim.
And so in Australia, I then go, wake up the next day and I put on my business card, criticalfewactions.com.au or criticalfewactions, TM or does my life change all that much? Not really.
I don't know whether to make this a personal advice or like
go wild.
Many of my clients have direct competitors. Either we're trying to compete or whether we become successful and then others compete.
Yeah.
And SEO and Google search has been a major factor of annoyance. When you type in your brand, if it goes to your competitor, it does annoy you. So there's something we can do if you've got a trademark. We send in saying they're using our keywords and try to prevent them just riding our tails and getting your clients that have looked up. I want good, strong, clear advice. And they should come to you, but they don't, or they've heard of you. So that's one point. Startup world, you get investors. Investors want to make money, so they want to exit.
Yeah.
They want to own as broad around the brand equity value as they can. So that's become an important aspect of strength and growing the brand, getting investment, getting the exit. And back to basic business, and what I said at the start was the best brands have found a way to connect with their customers.
Yeah.
Clients, target audience, and they want that brand and they'll refer to that brand and they'll pass on that brand and the brand will grow, which hopefully will be profits. An example that I still like, and I do like it, is Instagram. Influencers, images, I might be that stereotypical that a 16-year-old girl to 25-year-old girl looks at fashion a lot on Instagram. It's the first thing they do when they wake up. They look at the influencers, what they do. It's really connected to that target market, hence the value of the brand.
So it's all about the brand. It's actually not the technology. The technology is just an enabler of that process.
Exactly. And that then, crossing a bit to my marketing side, is the branding.
Mm.
Branding, if you go to Apple and buy an Apple computer, you're assuming that the design of their items are world-class, world-first. And their technology in the system is world class. So that's what it represents. The branding of Apple is that. And that's what taking the brand and investing and growing and connecting is all about.
Right. Okay. So I wake up tomorrow morning and I've got a note in my inbox from yourself saying that my trademark has been accepted, awarded, and in Australia at least I can now change it from being Critical Few Actions TM to what R, is that right? I think it's, which is doesn't feel particularly as exciting, frankly, this the TM did, but that's all right. So how does my life change as a result of that? What's different for me, apart from the fact that I've got a piece of paper which says I now own this mark that I've created?
Hopefully there's an aura around your brand that deters others and attracts the right people because it's a registered trademark. I do like the TN better as well. I remember it. Yeah.
And I'm looking for more. I'm a person who needs more aura, so that's something to look forward to.
You can invest in your brand, and that's probably my biggest confidence outcome that I've seen is when that happens, the clients all seem to say, now I'm going to grow my brand. I've got something that I can advertise to, invest in, promote, go out there with full confidence, and hopefully there's no direct that competitor now because we've got that barrier around us. that's probably great, or it depends on it.
You said something really interesting there, and that is I've got the ability to grow my brand with confidence, which also means that I've got something that someone can't take away from me. You know, if I think about Nike and the Air Jordan, you know, that whole string of brands and models and product lines and so on has all been built with enormous confidence in actually having the anchor name of Nike as their starting point. But I guess there's also the question of, well, regardless of whether I've got a registration or not, people will inadvertently or consciously choose to copy it or perhaps even replicate it. What does a registered trademark then enable me to do or force me to do?
Sure. So I'm a optimist, John. So the day you're copied, you're a success.
Yes. All right.
Let's take the positive.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Now you're successful, but everyone's copying or copying your product. And these days, there is no doubt that happens with speed. I've had fashion items where family business has created locally a fashion item. It was a blue and white stripe skirt. They put it in the front window, a photo was taken, and the next week it was in the store across the like. Speed of copying is incredible. So let's assume everyone can copy and everyone easy. The brand allows a certificate take action, both firstly with domain names. I've had quite a few successes with takedowns because we own the trademark. Amazon and e-commerce now require a trademark registration to open an e-commerce store. And if you think someone is selling counterfeit, you show your trademark certificate online to them, and action is quick because of the trademark certificate.
Mm.
Obviously, goods coming out of manufacturing countries such as China and others, a trademark certificate can stop them on the borders if you've got a word of knowledge. So there is customs process where the trademark wins again. Keyword searching with the major search engines can be won easily, can be with a trademark certificate. So that what that does is it allows for a lot of, you become a firefighter and you can put out a lot of the little flames very quickly and cost efficiently by waving that certificate around. Of course, at my international conference every year, counterfeit is one of the big topics and we haven't solved it. So I've been there 20 years, we haven't solved it or even got close to it. So what's ultimately another perspective other than being you're a success when someone copies you is that your core target market, actually there was a study done a few years ago where your core target market actually placed more value on the real product.
Yes.
So Yves Saint Laurent, Louis Vuitton and others, they're probably a large percentage of their business is just infringement. They don't design bags, they try to protect. But on the other hand, they keep putting up their prices to say, if you want ours, you got to pay more because of all this. So it's not a perfect world, but having a certificate allows, as I said, I like the firefighter approach of put them out within reason and quickly.
And that quickly is important, isn't it? Because, you know, protection is important, but the process of defending it is almost as important. If you choose not to defend, what does that say?
Once again, John, you're correct. There's a time limit on enforcing your branding rights.
Really?
If you know of a similar or identical brand for similar or good services, and if you don't do any action, as in you decide somewhere you said, I'm not going to do anything because of cost, because of time, then you've diluted your trademark and they coexist.
Right. So they could then actually trademark a competing or a similar.
Well, in Australia, they get common law rights.
Yeah.
They can exist side by side.
They can exist. They won't necessarily be able to actually get it certificate.
No, they get the trademark.
But they can coexist without.
I think that's an Australian phenomenon because we have a common law right and a trademark right. Whereas most countries are first to file. You've either got the trademark or you don't.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you see as the gotchas in defending in that case?
As you said, speed, nip it on the bud. I've only ever had, one of my clients was the number one in a category in Australia, in a children's school product. Number one, every store in Australia had their product. Every school kid had their product. Far on the left field in a conference they saw, a similar name was used for one of their product SKUs in the US. And there were Aussies there, and they said, I'll take the license. And they said to me, I saw this over there. What should I do? I don't want to spend money. I went, up to you. It's the same name as yours, but up to you. 3 years later, that brand came to Australia and took over the entire market. And ours, from then, even though it's the client's choice, ultimately, I'm very strong for, we've got to nip it on the bud and stop it rather than just let's see what happens scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, that I think that's fairly wise. So, Brian, when should I trademark and when shouldn't I bother?
We'll start with the second question. If you are happy to play a generic game and keep a generic brand, and there is value in that. If you've got an ice cream truck and you sell soft, tasty ice cream and you want to call it soft, tasty ice cream, go for it. The next van can do the same thing, but you don't care because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it's not worth trademarking. Your brand is descriptive and you're happy and it's working. Other than that, the only time to hold off trademarking is if you haven't finalized your brand, because once we file for the brand, you can't change it.
Mm.
So if you say, oh, maybe I'll just shoot the logo through. You send me the logo, I file it, I can't change it.
Yeah.
So you get that accepted, but you change your logo, it's like, I don't have protection for it.
Mm.
And making sure you what you choose as your brand could stick and hopefully will become successful, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
The beauty of Nike was not changing from when they got Just Do It through.
Yeah.
Rather than, hey, let's have 10 different slogans every day. So being comfortable that that's what you want to go with is important. Otherwise, you're just duplicating costs of filing.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Brian. If you really want to kick off your strategic planning and work in a supportive environment with other CEOs and leaders, the CEO Masterclass in Strategic Planning and Implementation is for you. This 10-month small group course helps you craft your strategic plan, present it to a group of peer investors, and develop a habit of monthly implementation. Our waitlist is open now at criticalfewactions.com.au. So if a founder or a CEO is looking to start utilizing protecting their brands or even starting a new business with an innovative product, what critical few actions should they start tomorrow if they did nothing else?
In business, I think a brand is essential.
Yeah.
So they need to do the foundation. Firstly, check if the brand they've got is potential trademark success on the register. So we have to check the trademark that no one else has it and it's trademarkable, distinctive enough. Yeah. That's the first thing. Because the last thing I want to do, you say, sorry, you have to change your brand name. Because brand owners love their name.
They're like children. No one wants to know that they're ugly.
That's a fair analogy. I want to be the good guy. I've protected your brand. It's confidence, not change your brand. I hate it or we can't get it. So making sure you can get it and then at least starting in Australia. That's a critical few actions. Get it started in Australia. And then depends. Of course, there's budgetary restraints and time to get your business going, but because trademarks take time, making sure you could potentially get it, search, etc., and then filing in Australia is the most important to start with.
Yeah, good. Fantastic, Brian. As always, it's been a delight to chat with you, and I've again learned so much. Thank you.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me. And I hope the Travie Mark talk was of interest, because that's my world. And thanks for letting me share.
Well, it's an important part of growing the value of a business. And if anything, it's become more and more important than ever before.
I think so. I hope so.
Thanks, mate. You know, as I reflect on this conversation I've just had with Brian, you know, I look at the global business Caring, which owns a brand, Gucci, Yves Saint Laurent, Bottega, and so on. You know, when you look at their balance sheet, nearly 20% of their assets, in fact, their largest single asset is intellectual property, which says a hell of a lot, particularly when you now think that you know, the large manufacturing nations around the world can manufacture pretty well anything for us. So what is it that makes you unique, and what is it that makes you distinct when someone comes to actually acquire your business? So one of those things that Brian said a couple of times during the interview was that it's a due diligence requirement, a mandatory tick box when someone's actually looking to acquire the brand is, have you protected your brands? Have you protected your intellectual property? I thought that was a really interesting takeaway.
Thanks for listening to the Critical Pure Actions podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and grab the downloadables from the show notes. And if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you share it with your peers and your team. Stay focused and take action. The Critical Few Actions podcast, including show notes and links, provides general information only and is not individualized business advice, nor can it be relied upon as such. You must take responsibility for your own advice, decisions, and actions.